Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Hello, Sarah Gon. How are you?
I'm very well. Long time no here.
It has been too long and I have missed you terribly.
I don't know why.
So I've missed you and I haven't missed you. Like, and I'll tell you, on Facebook, I'm seeing the Institute of Race Relations articles. It's almost like every article that I like and want to share is coming from the Institute of Race Relations.
Well, please do, and the more the merrier.
Incredible. So whatever you're doing, I think you're doing a lot right, Sarah. A lot.
We'll see. Yes, we think so too.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on, you know, as a thinker, as a thought leader, what are your thoughts on Cyril Ramaphosa's cabinet?
Well, perhaps I could do no better than to quote a headline that is contained in a little article that my colleague Franz Cronier has written for us to put on our website. Mm-hmm. And it goes, "Nightmare cabinet will kill new dawn hopes." How's that for a...
Wow. Wasn't expecting that. I thought you were going to say recycled or, you know, swings and roundabouts. I wasn't expecting that.
Regurgitated is more than...
ow.
basically, I'll give you an idea from what he says because it gives a nice little summary. But basically, his main concern and our concern is that the cabinet is disastrous for our reform ambitions. And the postings of education, trade and industry, justice, finance and labor have done nothing for a decent agenda. And I think that's going to become, the market's going to respond to that fairly quickly. In the case of education, you've got a minister who's been there since, I think but she's been there for well over a decade. And we've got one of the worst schooling systems in the world. Trade and industry, we were really interested to see what would happen, is basically being led by an ardent left-wing ex-trade unionist. Now, Ibrahim Patel's a bright man and hard-working, but he is a communist, and we need free market ideas, particularly in trade and industry right now. Now, the Justice Minister is also a Communist Party member and a strident advocate for expropriation without compensation. Now, our finance minister, who we generally would be happy about, we're a little concerned that he's a reluctant minister because he clearly didn't initially want to be there, has as his deputy a hardline left-wing activist and communist as his deputy finance minister. David Masondo used to run the ANC's political school. Now, there's no doubt, obviously, what the political school was teaching was left-wing politics. And finally, the Labour portfolio is held by a militant trade unionist. And he was one of the first guys to try and defend Jacob Zuma's swimming pool. So all in all, the sort of key areas that that should make a huge difference to what South Africa becomes, are filled either with the same old, or a distinct lurch to the left. And it's the complete opposite of what we need. And I think we're going to hear from the ratings agencies fairly quickly.
Why did the Rand respond positively last night?
We think it was just sort of, it bounces a lot on a level, small amount, and it just happened to be bouncing at the time, but we don't think that will last. And it's largely because of the USA and China trade wars. So it didn't really have the
politics
thing in mind. I was also very worried about the fact that Ramaphosa took 50 minutes he was 50 minutes late. And if there was that much arguing and bickering going on in the right up to the announcement, it just doesn't look good. I mean, the other thing about the trade and industry minister is that he wasn't on the ANC's list, or he was on the list and fell off because ANC didn't get enough votes, and he didn't have a particular constituency that Ramaphosa had to appeal to. So that really is probably the bad news. The I'm not so sure, news, for obvious reasons, is Naledi Pandor, because I think she could make a very good international affairs minister. I think she's bright, she's articulate, she's probably a damn sight more diplomatic than anything we've had before, certainly for a very long time. But of course, she is very firmly an anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian. And I know that the Jewish community leaders have said that she's attended a lot of their events and seminars and things, but I'm not sure she's taken anything out of it, because she's made comments about putting forward the ANC's resolution on Israel completely unwarrantedly, and you know, just the circumstances weren't right. And she gave a speech, I think it was last year at the Israel Apartheid Week in UCT, which it was, let's say, unfactual, to probably put it best. So we're not convinced.
That is quite disappointing, Sarah.
Yes, it is, because it's particularly on the economic side. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We appear to be going in exactly the opposite direction to the direction we need to go in.
And how do you account for this? I mean, Ramaphosa got up there, he said to the electorate, you know, I'm going to do something different, I'm going to clean up, I'm going to... Why? Is this just the extent of factionalism within the ANC and the power? Is this showing us where the power really lies?
I've certainly said, probably even longer than my organization, that I'm not convinced about Cyril. I'm not convinced that he has the quality to really lead, particularly in an environment like this, where you probably have to stand up to factions who could be detrimental to you to some extent in order to get things moving. And that he is a committed socialist. So I'm not convinced that, you know, I'm just not convinced that he was the guy. And the fact that he's been in business, well, he certainly earned a lot of money in business, but I wouldn't describe it as necessarily being in business. So I, you know, as I said, the late decision making yesterday, for me, that indicated that something was not going to go right.
Well, time will tell exactly where it is going
to
go.
I knew it was going to be important to speak to you today. And yeah, thank you for opening
it up. It's always good to speak to Sarah.
We read names. And for most of us, there isn't a background, there isn't a context to many of these people. So thank you for providing that. Not so sure I wanted to hear everything you said today.
No, nevertheless. It's horrible.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to get involved with the South African Institute of Race Relations, you can. Sarah, how do people get in touch with you? How do people get in touch with the Institute? Or if you want to get involved, what sort of roles are you looking for?
Okay. Essentially, we're now sort of have created a whole lot of platforms over and above our articles. We have our new online newspaper, let's call it, the Daily Friend, which just puts forward some news items, some articles. We've got podcasts. We've got little television inserts where we analyze things on a fairly fun basis, actually, believe it or not. And what we're essentially doing is appealing to people to become members of the Institute on an individual basis. It's like 70, 80 rand a month or whatever it is, really to participate in helping us to fight the battle of ideas for people who like what we say. So we've taken up in very, very strongly expropriation without compensation, alternatives to BEE, things like that. And if there's anything that people feel worried about but disempowered by, you know, if they can become our members, then we can essentially act for them. We've made representations to Parliament, and we've had some effect there. So we think we're cool, and the easiest way to do it is really to SMS to, I think it's 32823, and then somebody will get in touch with you. You just your name. That's all.
Okay. What's that SMS number again?
32823.
32823, and just your name, and somebody will get in touch.
And just your name, and somebody will ring you and try and persuade you to sign up.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah Gunn. Just wonderful speaking to you again.
Thank you.
Have a great week. God bless. Bye-bye.